Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Vayakhel. We have a handful of very interesting stories this week. The first one about Rav Simcha Bunim, and the story goes as follows. One time, he was in bed, going to bed at night, and all of a sudden he had a real hankering for tobacco. He wanted to smell some smelling tobacco as they did in that time. But the case of tobacco was on the table. So he smiled about it and he thought, well, should I do this? If I get up and go to the table and take that tobacco, maybe it's me being overtaken by my taiva. I shouldn't be such a taivitic person. Going into my desires, it just isn't the right way to go. But then he said, wait a minute. If I stay in bed, maybe that's because of atzelus. I'm lazy. And maybe it's just my laziness that's keeping me from getting out of bed. So he decided what to do. He decided he was going to be Yotze for both concerns. He got up. He went to the table. He took the case of tobacco and then immediately put it down without smelling the tobacco. That way he was able to keep himself away from both atzelus and taiva at exactly the same time. Next story is a story about Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and this is in no other place than the Volozhin Yeshiva. He found a bunch of bachrim on a Friday night that were they were just schmoozing, kind of wasting time a little bit. And as Shlomo Melech says, "Rov dvarim lo yecht al pesha." You talk too long, you're getting in trouble. So, Rav Chaim Volozhiner tried to give them gentle rebuke, and he said to them, "Wouldn't it be better if you were, you know, you guys went to bed now? You know, we have this notrikon Shabbos shin veis sof." Shena b'Shabbos Tainuk. Going to sleep on Shabbos is Tainuk. It's a kiyum in the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, right? You can go get a mitzvah. So one of them answered back and he said, yeah, but when we're schmoozing, we're also Makayim Oneg Shabbos. Cause Shabbos, Shin Veis Tuf, also, spells, Sicha b'Shabbos Tainuk. Sicha, speaking. They changed the shin to a sin. So, without skipping a beat, or so I would assume, Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes back, he says, this must be what Shlomo Malch says in Koheles, Lev Chochem B'Yumino V'Lev K'sil B'Smolo. A wise person is, their heart is to the right, and a foolish person, their heart is to the left. Meaning to say that to the right, you have a Nakuda, a dot punctuating the shin to show that it's a shin, and a sin has one on the left. So, he said it must be that you have a shin showing shena, but Shabbos Tainug, and you changed it to, and you changed it to sicha, a sin, sicha b'Shabbos Tainug. So that's, you know, him saying, like, Chacham Yimino, with great Charifus. So the story, next story is about Rav Meir Simcha of Tvinsk, who lived in Bialystok. And in the year Tuf Reish Nun Ches, he, the Rav of Bialystok was Nifter. And there was a discussion of who should be the replacement Rav. So there were many leaders within the community who were interested in supporting Rav Meir Simcha to become the next leader. And after all, he was an extraordinary Talmud Chacham. But there was a strong voice as well about not taking Rav Meir Simcha. Why? Because he was a local. And he's too known to them. And sometimes the level of their efficacy as a Rav will be limited by being a local. So Rav Meir Simcha b'Charifus responded as follows. He said, look, the truth is, he says, when it was time that, back in Parshas Kisisa, when Moshe Rabbeinu, did not come down from Har Sinai. Why did they ask Aaron to make an eagle? Couldn't they just have said, hey, Aaron, instead of making an eagle, why don't you just become our manhig? Why don't you become our leader? But it was the ear of Rav. They said, you know, it would be better for us to appoint a manhig, even though it is an eagle made out of molten gold, than to appoint somebody who we already know. Next story is a story about Rav Meir Shapiro in the famed establishment of the Yeshivas Chochmei Lublin. He decided that it was a good idea to make a big pirsum, to make a big publicity about the fact that the yeshiva had started, and he had been working on it for so long. And there was his Rebbe responded to him. He said, you know, I just want to ask the Rav of Chertkov. He responded, he said, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure that maybe there could be a little ayin hara? And Rav Meir Shapiro responded, look, the Ribbono Shel Olam, who understands the way the whole world works, and he knew that the luchos were going to be broken, he decided he was going to give the Torah with so much pirsum, so it could make be magdil kvod shamayim, that even though he knew that maybe they wouldn't be, they would end up being broken, but still the kvod shamayim was worth it to do it bepirsum. And Rav Meir Shapiro said, look, I've been waiting for 7 years for this moment so I could bring up the kavod of the Torah and the people who learn Torah in front of the Jewish tzibur. He says, if chalila this would cause ayin hara, let it damage me personally. I am ready to give away my life in order to lift up Torah in the world and to be Makadish Shem Shamayim and his Torah Berabim. And when the Rebbe Mechertkov heard what he said, he was happy. But there are there's those who say that Rebbe Meir Shapiro, if he knew what he would have said, that he would end up giving a very, very big price. And he did die, shortly after the establishment of the Yeshivas Chochmei Lublin. One would wonder, who knows what could have happened. Next is a very relevant psychological insight from the Ksav Sofer. It says, Kol ish asher nasa olibo v'chol asher nadva rucho, oso heviu es trumas Hashem. So when we're talking about the voluntary gifts that were given for the purpose of making the Mishkan, it talks a lot about Nesivu Slav, it talks a lot about Nedivu Slav, and so on and so forth. He says, look, there are some people when they decide to give a donation or a pledge, they're looking towards other people. And they say, oh, if this guy who's holding here in terms of this amount of money, whatnot, gives this much, then I'll give this much. And if this guy who's got less than me gives this much, then I know I need to give this much. But he says this was not the way that it was with giving for the Mishkan. Everybody gave asher nadva rucho oso, what they really felt their nedivus lev should give. The decision was a decision of their own, just what their heart wanted to give, and not a comparison to other people. And I think that this is an extraordinary mila. You know, we've talked about many times how difficult it is for people to not judge themselves or make decisions based on their action, based on other people, bein latav, bein labish, you know, whether it's good or bad. And fundamentally, we should use other people to lift ourselves up. But notwithstanding all of that, we should always make decisions as if we're in front of one audience and one audience only, and that is in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Next, we would have to mention something about the Nesiim. So when during Makas Choshech, when the Jewish people were asking for Kelim in Mitzrayim, everyone asked from their own frame of reference and their own context. This is the Ibn Ezra. There were those who were thinking about clothes, so they'd ask for clothes. Those who wanted gold and silver would ask for that. But it was only the Nesi'im that in Mitzrayim, they were also of higher stature. They could even think about precious stones. And they were the ones who took the opportunity to ask for precious stones from the Mitzrim. It's a very interesting thing to think about. You know, says the Ibn Ezra, when you have an opportunity to ask for something, you need to know what to ask for. And sometimes that frame of reference can be extraordinarily valuable. One other beautiful idea from the Baruch Tam that I saw, it says in Lamed Vav Gimel, it says, Vehimei view a love, Od Nedava Baboker Baboker. They brought more Nedivos every morning. What does this mean? So the Umnim, the workers, the skilled workers who were Chachmei Lev, they brought something else. It wasn't just materials, but what they gave was time. They got up early in the morning with Zrizos to get to the place where they needed to work every day, day in and day out, before the time that they probably needed to be there, because that's the way that you prepare things that matter to you in this world. So, you need to do it right away. You don't want it to be on anybody else's time. Rather, you do it right first thing in the morning. So this reminds me, it's set down in the name of Moshe Feinstein, Chassam Sofer, and others, that, you know, when we talk about Maaser Ksufim, Maaser Ksufim is not something which simply, solely, and exclusively is of your resources that are your financial resources, but rather, sometimes, in fact, for some of us, often, the greatest resources we have is ourselves. So it's your time, it's your attention, it's your skill set that you can give to somebody else. One more comment is the comment of Rashi in Lamed Hey Aleph, right at the beginning of the Parsha, where it says Vayakel, and Rashi comments that this is right after Yom Kippur. So when the Jewish people were giving to the Mishkan, it needed to be that they were pretty much clean of any averus, of gezel, of geneva, and so forth. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu waited until after Yom Kippur, which was the time of tshuva and charata and making good on bein al makom, bein al chaveru. That's when he gathered everybody together and said, now is the time to do Truma Samishkan. This idea is from Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov Rubinstein, who is the Av Beit Din of Paris, wrote a sefer called She'iris Menachem. Now on to our kasha. At the beginning of the parsha, Rashi says Vayakel, and it says it's after, just as we said, it's after Yom Kippur when he got down from Har Sinai. And this is hard to say because we said in Parshas Yisro, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, Vayhimi Macharas, Vayashav Moshe Lishbot Es Ha'am, Vayamod Ha'am Al Moshe Mina Boker Ada Erev. And Rashi there says, Vayhimi Macharas, Mimotze Yom Kippurim Haya. So if that's true, if this is true that the people were standing with Moshe from right after Yom Kippurim, mi boker va'ad erev, and Moshe was sitting there being dan din tera, how could it be possible that on that day he gathers everybody together to say all of the things which are in Parshas Vayakel? He's just one person. How could he have all of that time? Have a wonderful Shabbos.